It's time to make it count. We give professionals the knowledge, mindset, and habits to win at work and at home. I'm Freddie Bennett, Guinness World Record holder, business owner, adventurer, and author, giving you the tools to get unstuck, unshackled, and unleashed. The clock is ticking, so let's go and make it count. Welcome to another show-stopping episode of Make It Count. And today, folks, we have a real treat for you because not only are we making it count, we are making history. Many are called, but few are chosen. I am delighted to welcome our very first guest who is returning to the podcast for a part two after one of the favourite interviews I've ever had on this series. And I am delighted to welcome co-founder of The Gap, Mark Jenkins. Mark, welcome back to Make It Count.
Oh, thanks, Freddie. I sound like one of these employees that you say on day two to them, oh, well, this is successful. You're back. You came back on day two.
Well, you are back for, in a way, your day two, certainly your part two. And look, the first episode that you recorded on Make It Count is one of our very first episodes, and people continually keep referring back to it. I know so many accountants, so many advisors got so many pearls of wisdom from that episode. And we talk about The Gap here a lot on Make It Count. So many other guests mention it or refer to The Gap. So we thought it absolutely made sense to bring you back and to not only talk about more about the great work that The Gap does, but also talk more about how we could all do more to help accountants and advisors make it count for their clients, for their businesses and themselves. So this is a very exciting time here, making history. Mark, for anyone that somehow lives on the moon and hasn't heard of yourself or heard of The Gap, please remind us a bit about yourself and what you do with The Gap.
Yeah, look, I'm sure there's plenty of people that don't know who I am. So I'm a chartered accountant by trade, about 30 years, probably too many years to mention. And I ran my own accounting firm, having started off in one of the big four straight out of university, and not really enjoying that experience. And then running a ski chalet and being in complete denial for 6 months in a combi van. And then finally returning to Whakatane, where I live and still live now, 30 years later, ran my own accounting firm for a few years, 20-odd, and then sold that. And at that stage, that firm was doing about 50% of its revenue was from business advisory or business development services, as I like to refer to them. And that was the birth of The Gap. We joined forces, myself and Viv Brownrigg, and we formed The Gap in 2014, nearly 10 years ago, October. And really started to put together content to help accountants market, sell, and deliver business advisory services. So I'm, for those of you, those people that do know me, they know I'm absolutely passionate about small and medium-sized business owners, and that's at the heart. Our core purpose used to be at The Gap, used to be accountants accelerating small business success, because this has been my personal mission for a very, very long time. Small and medium-sized business owners need help from their accountants, and accountants are in a very good position to do that. So what's then sort of transpired from that is at The Gap, we've rebranded and rethought our core purpose and changed it to Advisory Made Easy. But the reason behind Advisory Made Easy is so that more accountants will help their business clients accelerate their success. And that's that win-win opportunity. So that's a bit of a long-winded explanation, Freddie, but hopefully people are getting a bit of a flavour for the passion and the heart that is who I am, and the value set that drives me to do what I'm doing on this crusade for accountants and small, medium-sized business owners.
Definitely. And I never get bored of hearing your story, Mark, and The Gap story, because I think it is such a success story that is not only helping so many accounting firms and accountants deliver that success for small and medium-sized businesses. But I believe it's a true success story for the industry as well, to show the right way for how accounting firms can evolve. And we're always talking about the future of the industry. You're quite literally lighting the path for so many accountants. I'd love to say, so we talked about your background and your journey as such in the previous episode, Mark. And if anyone hasn't heard that, I'd highly recommend they go back and listen. But I'd like to focus in this episode really, can we give a masterclass to advisors and accountants right now who are thinking, we want to do more? We all know the challenges that small and medium business owners face. We all know that the accountants are in a position to help them. Can we give them the knowledge, the mindset, the habits and the tools with things like the gap to make it happen? And where I'd like to start there is, I'd love to get your view, Mark. Why do you think accountants struggle to deliver advisory services for their clients?
Yeah, look, I think, I mean, I hear these struggles all the time, and I was no stranger to these struggles and challenges myself when I had my own firm. I mean, first and foremost, I hear it all the time, as capacity. And I'm going to say some things that are a bit confronting on this episode, Freddie. You might need to edit some of them out.
We're no strangers to controversy here at Make It Count, Mark. So the more the better.
Yeah. So I'll start with the first one and say that capacity is the biggest constraint, and capacity is a choice.
Mm.
You know, you have a choice as to how you operate your business. You're not a slave to your business. You're the one who makes the decision. Well, if you're listening to this as an owner of a firm, and let's deal with the owner first. If you are the owner of the firm, capacity is a choice, because there are lots of solutions to increase capacity. You can offshore or outsource. You can employ more people. And there's a real shortage of talent out there. And again, that's a choice. Those people are making a choice as to where they'll go, where they'll stay, probably more importantly. So let's make sure we don't lose anyone as well. So it's a choice. So we could choose to offshore or outsource. We could choose to work with fewer clients and go deeper with those clients. We could choose to delegate more work to our senior team. We could choose to use VAs, virtual assistant or admin support, more to, you know, I had a PA in my own firm, Nicole. She was just phenomenal. I didn't even know what I didn't know till I had her come on board. And she was, you know, looking at all my emails, answering my emails, either as herself or as me. And it was just phenomenal, the difference that having a great PA made to my capacity. So I say this with belief and experience, that capacity is a choice. I work with a number of firms through the gap and all in my private capacity as well, and private consulting. And I can see that capacity is a choice and we can make a difference there. But that is fundamentally the biggest challenge that we have. I'll probably rattle off a few others as well. Attraction and retention of talent. And again, I believe that's a choice as well. If you provide the right environment for your talent, the next generation of leaders, if you like, if you give them the growth and the opportunities for development, you stay close to them, you have a great workplace culture, you perhaps adopt some of these modern ideas like a 4.5-day working week. That might be a bit controversial for some as well. In New Zealand, just come off the back of 31 March and we're way behind on our tax returns. Why on earth would we give someone a 4.5-day working week? But this is all about how do we attract and retain talent. I do think there's some other challenges there, but I mean, do you have any comments on the capacity as a choice thing, Freddie? Because you see this all the time as well.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. And it's something I hear a lot. And it's, again, if we're going to be controversial, I'm all for that. I have a new phrase that I see accountants everywhere. They are shoulding all over themselves. They should all over themselves every single day. And what I mean by that is that they say, I know what I should do, but I'm just too busy to do it. And you know, we talk about, you have a great set of clients here, you could be helping them on so many different levels to have that time freedom, the mind freedom and the financial freedom that I know that the gap talks about. And they say, yes, I know I should be doing that. I know I should be running workshops. I should be using all these amazing resources available to me, but I just don't have the time. And I think that's why I say that it gets messy when you shuddle over yourself. But as I say, as you know, Mark, one of my favorite phrases is, any problem that you've had for more than a few months is because you have decided to keep that problem. And I think this is a key example of that. It's very easy to sit back and say, I don't have the time, I don't have the capacity, we're too busy at the moment, it's a busy time of year. But really, I believe they're excuses for not making the change that many firms know they need to make. And they don't make that change because there's an element of fear and an element of understanding that all change means difference, which means learning new things, which means potentially being exposed. And it's much easier to stay saying, I've got a capacity problem or I've got a problem, and instead of making a different choice. So I think you're absolutely right there.
I think the shorter labour people, I had to listen carefully because I wondered with the English accent when you were, whether you were using a different word, but maybe you just say it a bit quicker with a T on the end. But anyway, it's I think that the key thing here, to if we're saying we should or we could or we might, then we're being below the line. Let's just face it. We're in that, you know, in the OARBED model. OAR is on being above the line, ownership, accountability, responsibility. Below the line, blame, excuse, deny. So if we're saying we should do something or we could do something, we're probably denying, for example, that our clients need more or want more or would pay for more or would value more. Or we're making an excuse. We haven't got the right people. We've got too many clients. We've got too much compliance work to do. What do we say? Blame, excuse, deny. So we've done excuses and deny. The blame is, well, it's actually someone else's fault that I haven't got capacity here, but actually it's not. And if we loop back to the, because I didn't close the loop actually on the individuals who would be listening to this who are not necessarily an owner of their firm, I believe that you can take ownership of this too, because if you really want to do this work, then talk to the owners of your firm, the decision makers, about your passion to make a difference. Talk about what you see as the future of the accounting industry. Talk to them about what you see as the challenges with automation and AI and not tax simplification, because that's probably never going to happen, but certainly automation and AI is a big disruptor. Talk about your aspirations for how you want to help the clients. If you don't take ownership and you don't speak loudly enough, then change won't happen for you either. So I think you're right that people are assured all over themselves. I think that if we're speaking from the you need to do this, or we're blaming, or we're referring to someone else, then we're being a victim. We're saying there's nothing we can do about this, and it's up to somebody else, or circumstances need to change. But I've been talking to some firms for 10 years with the gap about when things are going to change, when they're going to have some capacity to be able to do this. It's actually just aspirational for them to do this. So I think what we need to do is get above the line and take some ownership, accountability, and responsibility and make some changes. There are loads of people that can help you with the change. I know, Freddie, you've got a fantastic program that you've just launched, your Superheroes program. And that's exactly what, in my view, the next generation of leaders needs. But to get the next generation of leaders on a program like that, we need the owners of the business to take ownership of the fact that this is probably not a program for them. It's probably a program for their next generation of leaders. So if the next generation of leaders are speaking loudly about what they want and their aspirations, then there could be a little bit of fear for the owner that, well, maybe I might lose this person if I don't give them what they want. Equally, if the owner of the firm is saying, look, I'm really busy, but here's an opportunity for you. If you want to prove yourself and this is what you want, then do something. Start this work and show me that it works, and really empower them. But the win in this is that the small business clients really want this. And when they get it, it makes such a difference to them. And there's nothing that fills my cup more than when I see posts in the Gap Facebook community about accountants all over the world who have made a difference to their clients and how that's made them feel. It's just such a feel-good factor.
No, I totally agree, Mark. And there's so many different areas to unpack there, but I think you're right. You mentioned around the Professional Superheroes program, which is something I'm super proud of, because it does help accountants. As I always say, I do believe that accountants are the superheroes of the business world, because they can see things that other people cannot see. They can do things that other people cannot do. And that's why I believe everyone is a professional superhero. But in terms of the superhero story, if we think back to any superhero movie, even the hero and the villain both start out as the victim. And I think a message here is around, people look at superheroes and they think, oh, they must be perfect. And I think this links back to the fear factor of accountants. They think, oh, we know that there are sometimes people talk about being low on confidence, or suffering from imposter syndrome, or areas such as, or I'm just an accountant, I could never be good at selling advisory work. But this isn't about going from being an accountant to this perfect superhero business advisor. It's about making the decision. That's why I say that the hero is just the victim who chose to go on that transformational journey. It's just taking that first step. And that's why the gap is so great, because you have all the tools, all the resources, all of the support to just make a few changes that can make some massive differences quite easily to the bottom line of clients. And I'm always heartened as well. So many, in fact, the vast majority of the guests who come on to Make It Count always talk about not the accounting at all. It's actually about changing and transforming the lives of business owners. And this is why we put the clients at the heart of everything we do. And if we're being controversial, which I always like, I challenge accountants and listeners and say, how dare you? You have all of these skills, all of these talents, all of these amazing resources that could help, you know, these superheroic powers that could help people, that could help business owners to transform their lives. And every day that we don't take the action, that we don't use these tools and these talents, business owners out there are suffering. So that's why I believe everyone has to take that courageous step forward and use these powers for good.
Yeah, and look, I think very confronting. How dare you talk to accountants like that, Freddie? But look, I mean, we all know to turn our sensitivity meter down. We wouldn't be listening to this podcast if we didn't know there's going to be some change. And I mean, everyone who knows you knows that, man, here's someone who pushes himself outside of his boundaries all the time. So, you know, you're the superhero yourself as well. But I think the key thing we've got to be thinking about here is, if we help the small business owner to achieve the three freedoms, and if we do that in a way that's scalable and leveraged, and our team are doing that, the team will be able to do this work, taking the small steps first, starting off, maybe doing the superhero program, or maybe doing a cash flow profit improvement meeting, or running a very good annual accounts review meeting. Doesn't matter. Whatever the first step is, when they start to make a change, that will increase their confidence. But it'll also increase revenue for the accounting firm, which will help the owner, whether that's you doing that work as the owner or your team doing it, so that, oh, actually, this is reinforcing this change. It's actually better for me. And ultimately, those of you who are listening who've got capacity challenges will realize, actually, we could get some time freedom here, because if we lift our average fee per client, if you do the maths, say, take your number of clients, get rid of 25% of them and look at increasing the average fee per client by 50%, you'll have a way more profitable business in way less time. So you can achieve the same outcomes for yourself while helping others. So that's why I'm not so sure if I would say, how dare you, but I would say, I would challenge you to do that calculation, to work out what it would be like if you had 25% less clients and 50% more average fee per client. And just think about the average hourly rate that you could be generating doing higher level work. That wasn't what drove me. That's what happened in my business. So my average fee per client, it was more than double in the end. I ended up reducing the number of clients simply because I had to. I didn't sack clients. There were a couple that I said, look, I think you'd be better off dealing with somebody else, because I don't just do compliance work, I do advisory work. And the rest I delegated to my team. And if they wanted to work with me, they worked with me on the value-added advisory stuff. So that's how I freed up my capacity. So that was all a choice. And it was hard, and there weren't many people that had done it before. But now we have literally hundreds of firms who have done this, who are in the Gap community. And so we've proven it, that you can get the capacity back, you can get your life back, you can have a more valuable business. We've proven it. We had the performance gap survey that Viv did in late last year, that's on our website, shows that firms who do advisory work are in our most profitable firms category. They're more profitable. But more importantly, the hours that they're working are, by the same measure, they're working less hours and making more money. So maybe over time, Freddie, we'll start to, if we keep challenging people enough, if we get more sort of automation and more threats coming in, and I don't like to do it through a fear factor, but maybe, and if we keep on the treadmill of helping this next generation of leaders, maybe hopefully in the education system, it'll evolve and help people to see that actually this is what you should be doing as an accountant. Maybe we'll see the step change over time. I'm an eternal optimist, Freddie.
You absolutely are, Mark. And I think there's so much to be positive about and optimistic about the future of the industry, but it is about recognizing that change. I'm sure we had it on one of the episodes. It's about you have to ride the waves that you create. And I think that that's helping accounting firm owners and accountants to realize that you could ride some amazing waves and there is so many sunny days ahead, but you have to create those waves to start with. And I think a lot of this does link back to what you were saying about attraction and retention, because without being too generalistic, but certainly the accountants that I speak to want to work at a practice or at a firm that is progressive, that is forward-looking, that is making a difference, that does have a bold vision. I think that's the same for the psychology of people. We all want to have a purpose. We all want to be able to make things happen. We all want to know that we count for something. Hence the name of Making It Count. And one thing I developed recently was I'm always fascinated by contrast, and again, maybe linked to the superheroes theme about creating an extraordinary accounting firm. I talk about everyday accounting firms and extraordinary accounting firms. I think one of the key differences is that everyday accounting firms focus on products and services. Extraordinary accounting firms focus on transformations and experiences. So how can we truly transform the business of our clients, the lives of our clients, and also give them an amazing experience of working with us? And that's what The Gap does. And I think by an accounting firm owner focus on becoming an extraordinary accounting firm, this will also help with attraction and retention.
Absolutely. And look, I see this all the time. And there are firms that I talk to that have people queuing up wanting to work there, which sounds absolutely crazy in the current market. And they're not necessarily recruiting at the moment, so that because they have people that they're looking after. I think to be an extraordinary firm, I was lucky enough to go and see Stephen Bartlett, the Diary of a CEO podcaster on Wednesday night up at the Civic up in Auckland. And he reminded me of there were some recordings of Steve Jobs there from Apple talking about employing people who were smarter than him. Or employing people that had skills that he didn't have. And this concept is something that I think we don't necessarily do very well as accountants, because the traditional model is you become the all-knowing expert. You're trained in the tax technical. You're trained in the annual accounting. You're trained in how to be a great technician. And I talk about myself when I say this, you know, that whole process and that timeline that takes. But there's a series of skill sets that are missing from that equation. You know, the entrepreneur is missing, the sales skills are missing, the marketing skills are generally missing as well. But it's mainly those commercial skills that are the skills that are missing. Some of our most successful Gap member firms bring people into the board of directors or into the organization who have some of those other skills. You know, people, I know you've had people that have previous, you know, Richard Wheeler, who's come into an accounting firm from a banking background, and on his podcast a few episodes ago, he was with you. He was talking about, you know, relationship building and the skill set that he can help his team to develop. So I think extraordinary accounting firms run like a commercial business, and that sounds, of course, an accounting firm is a commercial beast, but it's not. Often it has a sales and marketing department missing because you've got IRD or ATO or HMRC or your marketing and sales department. The idea that as an owner of a business, it's more successful to be less productive and empower your team to be more productive. That's counterintuitive. You know, the traditional model is me as the owner of the firm, I will put in 1 hour of my time at high value. The team will put in 10 hours. So we can only scale that model to the number of hours that I have available in my week. But if we start to think commercially, oh, hold on a second, I could have one of my senior team running that scaled business model where 1 hour of their time is made up with 10 hours of offshore or outsourced team time, and they could be doing the value-added work. Oh, to scale that business model, I just need to get the skill set up of more people who can do that work. So that could be ex-bank people, it could be people who have been involved in insurance, dare I say, it could be graduates who have done a management degree who coming out bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, thinking like, well, this accounting industry does sound sexy, does sound interesting. Well, that's a bit controversial. I know it's not sexy, but we could get those people coming in to start doing advisory work, business planning work with clients straight away.
Mm.
And that if we go back to the threat and the risk here, I agree with what you're saying, Freddie, that people want to work for a good firm. I see a number of people get disillusioned and frustrated and they go and set up on their own. And then they're suddenly it's pretty lonely. They don't have the wisdom and the expertise of those older statespeople that have been in the game for a long time. They don't have a great income stream. I think I've heard people say, take a chainsaw to your salary when you go and set up on your own. Mm. And we've got some very brave people that have done this. So I don't think that was always their first choice to go out on their own. I think their first choice was to be part of something that was bigger. So let's create that opportunity.
Exactly. And I think it is absolutely around that, creating that cause for people to rally around. And I 100% believe if someone wants to make a difference, a big difference in the lives of many business owners, of many people, whether it's here in New Zealand, in Australia, the UK, we have listeners all over the world now, working with an accounting firm who is progressive, who is ambitious, is a great way of doing it. It's so much easier, but it is about finding that right tribe and using the right tools, like The Gap, for example, like things like Professional Superheroes, using all of the tools available to us to actually make those changes happen.
Yeah, I was listening to James Clear. New Zealand's such a faraway place from all these experts, but somehow we seem to manage to get them in as far as Auckland. That's about as far as they'll go. They come for one night. So I saw James Clear last year, and one of the things that he talked about in terms of creating better habits or getting out of this place of being stuck or feeling like an imposter or not being able to do some of these things, he said, don't underestimate the value of the environment in helping change to happen. So if you surround yourself with other people who are facing the same challenges and dealing with the same challenges, or have already mastered these challenges and they're on the other side of that, then that will be a positive environment for you. I mean, he talked about if you want to be healthy, you know, you don't hang out with a bunch of people who like sitting on the couch and eating pizza and watching movies. You know, that you'll become like them. So let's focus on creating the environment and the space and the network of people who are like-minded. And I'm very, very proud of our Gap community for that. They share so openly in our Facebook group. We've got around about 1,000 people in there that are contributing. And I know your Professional Superheroes concept is exactly the same. Mm. You're going to have people going on a journey who are facing those same challenges. And I mean, it's the same for me. I've been part of a group of accountants now for 8 years that this group's been running. I think we've just had our 36th quarterly meeting. Prior to that, when I had my own accounting firm, I was in a network of accounting firms for about the 10 years prior to that as well. Most of them were Australian. So the environment created the force for change. And I didn't necessarily agree with all of the things my coach talked to me about, but I certainly did more as a result of having that independent accountability, that coaching framework, that network, surrounding myself with like-minded people.
Quick pause to tell you something that I am so excited about. I have launched the Professional Superheroes Mastermind Group. This is where professionals work directly with me to develop the knowledge, habits, and mindset to get unstuck, unshackled, and unleashed at work and at home. There is nothing like this on the planet. It is mind-blowing how much fun this is and just how big a shift people are experiencing. We turn you into the professional superhero that you were always meant to be. If you want more information and to join, then drop me an email at hello@freddiembennett.com. That's hello@freddiembennett.com. I can't wait to see you in there. Now, let's get back to the episode. Welcome back, Mark. I'm absolutely loving this conversation, and I want to pick up on something you just said when we were talking about the power of being part of a wider group and a tribe and a community. And that's the A word, which is around accountability. And I think sometimes that's what accountants miss, and that it can feel lonely, even if you are a practice owner, even if you've got a team around you, it can still feel lonely. And I think this is something I found in my own business over the years as well, not just purely for accountants in the accounting industry. We don't like to admit this, but when you know something needs to change, and as you said yourself, when you're feeling stuck, but you're not quite sure how to get unstuck, and you feel like this problem is growing and you're not quite sure how to fix it, it can be scary and it can be lonely. And I would argue more so if you are a leader and you feel that you need to put a brave face on things, for want of a better word. And how important do you feel is that accountability to not only get the direction, but then also to take the action and to execute on the change?
Yeah, look, I mean, I can only speak from my own experience on this. I mean, my group, we meet once a quarter. I say there are three things that I have to do each time before the meeting. And if I haven't done any of my three things, I pay for the drinks from the night before from that bunch of accountants. It used to be the drinks and the dinner, but accountants were a bit tight and they didn't like paying for the dinner as well. One bill I had, because I hadn't done my three things, was $2,500. That's about... Wow. £1,250. So it was a pretty significant cost. And I could tell that the others had all done their three things the night before because they were drinking the bar dry. They literally ran out of 10-year-old Tawny Port. And one of the owners, group members, said, don't worry, we'll just move on to the 20-year Tawny. It'll be fine. So I know the power of accountability. But the flip side of the accountability piece is that by doing the things that we say we're going to do, we choose the three things, the most important things we need to do. So if you imagine if we do all three things every quarter, then we've done 12 significant projects throughout the year to make a difference. And we've had a group of people helping us set those. So not only do we have the accountability, we're doing it because we have to and we're avoiding the consequence of having to buy drinks. We don't want to be named and shamed either. But if we remember why we set those things and why we've got that accountability, it's to make sure that we get what it is that we want. So I often hear clients that I coach, they say to me, and it was the same for me when I had my own coach, is if I hadn't done the things, I didn't want to be the one who sat there and said, oh, no, sorry, I haven't done that, haven't done that, haven't done that. I mean, I had a rowing committee meeting the other night, no different. There was an action list at the back. I had three things I needed to do. I had an hour to go before the meeting. And when did those three things get done? The hour before the meeting. But they were things that needed to be done that would make a difference to the business that we chose as a group to do. So the accountability piece is, if you like, it's the lever to get what you want, right? So you set the objectives of what you're wanting to achieve. If you just set objectives, then it's just aspirational. It's just a hope. But if you have a promised commitment to somebody else who's going to hold you to account, the chance of you doing that is just so much higher. It's true for me. It's true for everyone that I've spoken to. So it's a bit like if you play sport. And when I had my own accounting firm, I used to play squash. My knees are stuffed now from 35 years of playing squash. There was accountability there. We would set that 12:45 on a Monday and a Wednesday, I played squash, once with my doctor, once with my optometrist. I didn't not show up for that. That was the accountability. I'd promised that I would do it. So if we can create an environment where we're making promises to each other, then we will get change to happen. And that's accountability in its simplest sense. So if you don't have accountability, you're not going to get change. It's the five A's of change. You know, we talk about this a lot at The Gap. Got to be aware of what needs to change. You've got to accept what needs to change. You've got to take action. And the only way you'll take action is if you have accountability. And then acknowledgement, the celebration of doing it. That's the last A of change. And for me, that's the fun that we have together when we're having a few drinks before a coaching session, or the fun we have at a squash game, or whatever it is. But if we don't have that acknowledgement or, you know, that piece at the end after the accountability, it won't reinforce the good behaviour either.
I think you're totally right, Mark. And I love the squash metaphor of showing up, because it is about showing up, not just on the squash court. Great, by the way, if your knees were damaged, because it sounds like you had the best squash players to help you with them, in terms of the doctor especially. But I think, yeah, in terms of showing up, not only on the squash court, but also in your business, for your team, for your clients, and for yourself as well. And we have to create the environment that makes us not only want to show up, but also show up on the days when we don't feel like doing it. Because as we said, all change is hard. It can be tricky, it can be scary, but it is showing up and taking that consistent action, even if that action is sometimes imperfect, but it's still taking those steps forward. I have to ask as well, Mark, I'd love your opinion on this. We speak a lot about the change that accounting firms and accounting firm owners need to take. What is your view on whether that change needs to be quantitative or qualitative? And what I mean by that, quantitative change around, we need to be looking at timesheets more, at fees, at resourcing hours and so on, or more qualitative, that's around confidence, setting boundaries, mindset, all those areas? Or do you feel like it's a balance between the two?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I mean, there's a multitude of answers to that question. I mean, I think, and I could go on, there could be a whole podcast on this. Maybe there could be episode three.
There could be. We'll make it a trilogy.
You never know, Freddie. But I think what I see too often is that the qualitative things are missing. The performance review and goal setting, the personal development plans, the business plan if you're the owner, where you put some of those softer things in there, like, what is it that you're wanting to achieve? What do you want the business to deliver to you? How many hours do you want to work? That's quantitative, I know, but you're thinking in your mind about the qualitative things. You know, we're going to be having more time with our family. We're going to have a better quality of life. The qualitative things for your team when you're setting personal development plans is going to be, are we enjoying this? You know, do we have a, I was listening to Arthur C. Brooks, who is kind of a, he's the who of happiness, I guess. And in his podcast, he was talking about happiness, you know, and one of the things with happiness is that you've got to have pleasure, the things that you enjoy, but communion as well. So doing that with somebody else. So for me, squash, I enjoyed playing squash. I didn't like playing squash on my own. It was pretty boring hitting the ball up and down the wall. But when I had the game with somebody else, it was real enjoyment. And he talked about, if you like to have a drink of beer or something at night, but you'll enjoy it more. It'll be if you're sharing that with somebody else. So it's the same in the that's a qualitative aspect of work. Do we enjoy it? And part of the happiness piece that Arthur C. Brooks was talking about is whether or not we have a sense of purpose. Now, you can't measure whether you're achieving a sense of purpose. You can't put a quantitative measure on a sense of purpose. But if you feel like you're making a difference, or you feel like you're progressing, or you feel like somebody cares about you and that they've got your best interests at heart, then you're more likely to do something. Unpacking this. So at the beginning, most of those measures seem to be missing. Just showing a genuine interest in a team member and their family and what's going on in their lives, that's not quantitative. That's just empathy. You know, that's just showing that you care. And that's going to get change to happen. In the absence of that, then people go to the quantitative measures that they think the owner of the business wants from them. Productivity, hours, smashing out jobs, that sort of thing. And so that will not be much fun, probably, but they will use those measures. So even if you think, oh, okay, I'm going to lay off on the quantitative measures and I'm going to go all warm and fuzzy with people, it's not going to work either, because they will do what you think that they think you want them to do, if that makes any sense. So we have to have the balance of both. I was talking to a firm only an hour ago about this, talking about the need to have a personal development plan that has quantitative and qualitative measures in it. We're looking at what are the soft skills they need to develop around communication, around selling. This person asked me to send him, you know, my three best books on selling. I'm still waiting for your book, Freddie, that we can send through. But those soft skills around communication, selling, showing empathy for clients, yeah, we need to build in some measures around that in a quantitative manner, right? So what courses have you done on this? What books have you read on this? Which mindsets in the gap have you tried? Yeah, what did you get from the superheroes course, that professional superheroes course that you did? So we need to have the quantitative measures, and we need them to be modern. If we want change to happen, it could be a quantitative measure might be how many phone calls that you've made to clients in the last week, how many times you've picked up the phone. that's going to get the change to happen. So I'm not sure whether I've answered the question correctly for you there, Freddie, but there you go. I waffled on a bit.
No, it was fantastic, Mark. I absolutely agree. And I'm a big fan of saying I have so many phrases, but a couple of my favourite ones are, firstly, what gets measured gets done. So if, as an accounting firm owner, as you say, measuring conversations, measuring phone calls, it is the metrics that we choose that usually direct our actions. And my other favourite go-to phrase is show me your calendar, and I'll show you what you're committed to. I think a lot of people have either a lot of blank space in their calendar, or they'll have things like a coffee meeting in there or something else. But if you want to be committed to certain things like client meetings, like your team members, then you don't just throw them in here and there when you can find space. It's actually saying, I'm making this commitment and I'm blocking it into my diary. And that's why I say our calendars generally reflect our commitment. So if you are wondering why you're not seeing more advisory growth, if you're wondering why you're not seeing more team growth, then maybe start prioritizing it and start scheduling it, because what gets scheduled then becomes our priority and so on.
And also I think with that too, Freddie, what gets measured gets done. Leaderboards. We've got a leaderboard in the Gap, you know, where we've got certain things that we're measuring, and everybody looks at it, and you feel part of something if you can see, okay, well, you know, how many people have we got coming to our reunion conference in September? Mm. You know, we've got that on the leaderboard, and it's really motivating to see it. It's, you know, it gets updated every day and it never goes backwards, so that's always good. So we're seeing positive change. But we can do the same with perhaps phone conversations with clients. We could do it with maybe tax savings that we've created for a client, or maybe we're capturing the things of value that clients have said, or how many positive pieces of feedback have we had. So don't underestimate the value of making something visual to everyone. So that, remember that environment thing, we're creating an environment where everyone's on the same journey. Our business is a team of people who are working to a common goal, a common purpose, which is usually documented in the business plan. Let's make it visual. Let's make it obvious. I see some great success stories with firms with leaderboards on, you know, they remember to do it in New Zealand towards the end of 31 March, probably the same at 31 January in the UK, where you put the number of tax returns still to file and you cross it out each day with the next number. It's coming down, you're getting closer and closer. That galvanizes the team to work in the same direction. And so don't underestimate the power of visual measurement of your definition of success.
I absolutely love that, Mark. I think it's like any high-performing team. They have league tables, they have leaderboards, they track and measure all of the stats. They have time for rest, because something that you picked up earlier, I think so many accountants and accounting firms just think the solution is just to work harder. Just work more hours, work harder, get less sleep, get less time with the family, and somehow we're going to change things. But that doesn't work. It's a cliche, but it is about working smarter and not just shifting hours, but actually transforming the way you work and the things that you deliver. And that's why the Gap is so powerful, giving accountants all of the tools, all of the frameworks, all of the guidance to create amazing results for clients and their businesses.
Look, I think just, if you take one thing away from this, whether you're an owner in an accounting firm or whether you're a team member, stop thinking like a technician and start thinking like an entrepreneur. Mm. If you think like an entrepreneur, then you'll look at possibilities, you'll look at different things, you'll try different things, you'll surround yourself with experts. If you think like a technician, then the only way you're going to generate revenue is to work harder, do more hours, take on more clients, and you're just making a rod for your back. So technician versus entrepreneur, I know which one I'd rather be.
Exactly. And I 100% agree, Mark. I'm genuinely gutted this conversation has to end, because as always, I've learned so many things from you. And we could also, we'll obviously share all the Gap information and links in the show. But if an accountant is listening to this, either an owner or someone working at a firm, and they're feeling stuck and everything that we've been talking about is resonating, what should they do? What would be their first move, would you say?
Yeah, look, I think first steps, start small. Focus on what the client needs. Think about what does the client want from me? The clients that come to see me, what are they asking for? And how well am I delivering on that? right? So therefore, how do I solve that problem to be client facing without going below the line? Then it's probably a little bit of a reinvention of yourself, you know? So being honest with your clients. I mean, I was very honest. I said, look, for the last 10 years, been running your annual accounts process. We get to the end of the meeting, you pull out a piece of paper with 10 things on it that you want to talk about, and we've run out of time. So just start small. Start running a better annual accounts review meeting. Send some pre-work out for that meeting, or delegate that meeting to someone on your team and sit with them and help them. So that's kind of the, I would always think start small, but I think like an entrepreneur, not like a technician, whether you're a team member or an owner, that's what I'd do. But I'd really think about the driver of change, right? So we have resistance at the moment. We're too busy. We've got resistance. So think of the formula for change. So ask yourself some questions around dissatisfaction. What's it like for you right now? What will it be like if things don't change? If I keep doing what I'm doing now, what will it be like for me in the future? What's going to happen with my senior team members? Or, you know, so we build up that level of dissatisfaction. So if on one side of the equation, we've got the resistance we're trying to overcome, we build some dissatisfaction. Then the vision, okay, surround ourselves with people who have already solved this problem. This isn't a sales pitch for the professional superheroes. It's just what I absolutely believe in. Surround yourself with like-minded people. So join the Gap community or show up in the Gap Facebook community if you haven't yet. So build some vision questions. Find out what your life could be like. So that will motivate you for change. And then the first step. So it's dissatisfaction about the status quo times vision for the future plus the first steps that you're going to take. That's the action. So start small with one or two actions. Engage with some people who have already solved the problem. That will help you to overcome the resistance. So for me, that's what I always do. I always think, what's the one thing I need to do to move in the right direction? And it's got to be small, and you've got to surround yourself with experts.
Definitely. Yeah, 100% agree, Mark. I think a key aspect of there is I would highly recommend that anyone who hasn't joined the Gap to absolutely go to the website and check it out. And remind us of the website again, Mark.
Yeah, so thegaphq.com is the website. So thegaphq.com. It's all on there. You can sign up for a trial on there. You might want to try the value gap calculator in there. That's what you could use in the annual accounts review meeting to show the value to your clients of how you could work with them. That's available for free inside the trial. That's a great first step that you could do. But look, I think the key thing is that we have a community of like-minded people who all believe in all the things that I'm talking about today. I'm sure many of them will be listening in and getting some distinctions as much from Freddie as they are from me. And I'm very humbled by your earlier comments, Freddie. I mean, I listened to all of your podcasts as well. I've learned so much from your guests that you've had on. This is a fantastic podcast. So I'd also be recommending you tune into this, listen to some back episodes as well, and make sure you subscribe to this, because I listen to Freddie in the gym, because he's a bit of an expert on that too. So that keeps me motivated to keep going on the watt bike when I feel like stopping.
Ah, thank you, Mark. Very kind. I mean, obviously, also, we've got the Professional Superheroes program that's just launched, which is my program that gives accountants and professionals the mindset, knowledge and habits to be able to use tools like the Gap to their full extent. And we're also saying for any Gap members who join Professional Superheroes, they get a 20% discount for their first 3 months. So this is something we very much want to create, a suite of all the tools, all the resources, all the support for accountants out there. So it's very much collaborating and giving accountants everything they need to be successful. And also, I have to say, Mark, obviously we've got the reunion event happening. It's September, I believe, in Auckland. Right. I've got my ticket. I'm going to be there. Make it count. We'll be there. I'm really excited about it. So I think
that's the 19th and 20th of September in Auckland at the ASB Viaduct Centre there. So yeah, that we've sold a lot of tickets already. We're really excited about that. But Yeah, certainly you want to do that. Now, I listened to your first Professional Superheroes podcast just a few days ago too, Freddie, and I thought that was fantastic as well. Shorter episode than these longer ones, and really full of gems of advice, and so that definitely you want to be tapping into that one as well.
Ah, perfect. Thank you, Mark. And it's before we get into too much of Mutual Appreciation Society, I've absolutely loved having you on the podcast. It's always an amazing conversation. We will have to get you back now to complete the trilogy. Obviously, even though it's your second appearance, you do not escape a second final secret question, which is obviously the Make It Count tradition, where a previous guest gets to ask a secret question of the current guest, Mark, which is yourself. So your secret question, which I have not even seen myself. It's an interesting one. It's short but sweet this time around. So Mark, your secret question is, what does reaching your potential look like?
That's the BHAG. That's the big, hairy, audacious goal. I don't believe you'll ever reach your potential. I was reading an article on LinkedIn about somebody probably pretty well known to the UK audience who grew a pretty successful proposal writing business and sold it recently and thought that was reaching potential, got the big paycheck, did the earnout. And I'm only sharing this on this podcast because it's shared on LinkedIn openly as well, went into a very difficult place of unhappiness and is just coming out of that now, happy to say. But I think if we ever think we're going to reach our potential, then we haven't set the bar high enough. So for me, reaching my potential will never be achieved. I'm on a journey to transform small and medium-sized business owners' lives via the channel of accountants. So I'm never going to get there, but man, I'm pretty motivated to keep going with it. So not sure if I answered the question there, but I don't think I'll ever get to my potential.
That's amazing, Mark. And I do agree. I think we could always be striving and setting and stepping further out of our comfort zones. And that's the amazing journey that we're all on. And a huge thank you, Mark, and not just for appearing on the podcast today, but to yourself, to Viv, to all of the Gap team for all of the amazing work you do for accountants, for the whole accounting industry, and as you say, for many small and medium-sized businesses owners as well. And I'm truly excited about the future of the Gap, the future for Gap members, and the future of the industry as well. With people like yourselves in the driving seat, the future is bright.
No, thanks, Freddie. It's my pleasure, absolutely, to be on the show with you. And ever since we've met each other, I've enjoyed all of our conversations. So, if you're listening to this still, just choose one thing you're going to do, be the entrepreneur, and let's make it count. I got the words in before you did, Freddie.
Amazing. Love it. I mean, if you want to be a co-host, Mark, you're always welcome. So that'll be the third series. But for now, thank you for being part of Make It Count. We'll put all of the links in the show notes. And we look forward to completing the trilogy in the near future.
Good one. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Freddie.
Thank you for listening to another show-stopping episode of Make It Count. I would love it if you could give us a 5-star review, subscribe, and share this podcast with the world. I am on a mission to get professionals unstuck, unshackled, and unleashed at work and at home. You can join our free Make It Count community. Click the link in the show notes, and you can also follow all of my adventures on Instagram at @TheFreddieBennett. Well, for now, we made it count once again. I've been Freddie Bennett, you have been amazing, and I will see you on the other side.